Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Guess what? It's not too late for you to blow up on YouTube. Whether you've thought about getting in and wondered if you've missed the opportunity, or if you've got a YouTube channel but it's like kind of dead, I'm going to share with you today exactly what you need to do to blow up your YouTube channel. Because guess what? You have not missed the opportunity. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how late you think you are to the game. It is still possible. And in fact, if you're a midlifer, somebody who's over 40, your content is in high demand. First, a backstory. I started my YouTube channel in 2006. I think that's probably the year that YouTube started. And I posted up some fitness content. Back then, I was on TV, so I did get some steady growth of subscribers for the first 14 years. I literally grew about 8,000 subscribers, and that's like nothing to, you know, scoff at, but about 8,000 subscribers per year for 14 years. And I would mess around, and I never could understand, like, why can't I make YouTube blow up? And looking back at my old content, like, now I totally get it. But I also was like frustrated because it felt like a lot of work. I couldn't see the return of investment. Even though I've got lots of friends who are killing it on YouTube, who that's their primary lead source, that is their a huge source of their income. They were constantly telling me, like, Shaleen, you're so good on video. You're very comfortable on video. Like, you like video. Most people don't like video. Why wouldn't you do YouTube? You like long form more than you like short form. Why wouldn't you do YouTube? And I wanted to do YouTube, but every time I tried to do YouTube, it just never went anywhere. So I just couldn't justify spending the money. So in this episode of Build Your Tribe, I'm going to share with you exactly what I did to blow up my YouTube channel. Now, you're probably looking at this channel and going like, wait, you haven't blown up this channel. You're right. We haven't blown this channel up yet. On YouTube, this is a brand new channel that we started for Build Your Tribe. I blew up my Shaleen Johnson channel this year. And I'm going to share with you exactly how I did it because we are going to apply those principles here to Build Your Tribe. The very first thing that I did was hired a coach. I became a student. I hired a coach and I dug back into the Video Ranking Academy, which was basically an online course. Shout out to Sean Cannell and the folks at Think Media. It's a fantastic way for you to learn all the things you need to learn about YouTube. And let me just shoot straight with you and say, don't try to learn this stuff on YouTube. You will drive yourself crazy. You'll watch the wrong people. You'll get the wrong information. Like, the shortest, most direct way to learn exactly what you need to do is to hire a coach, to work with someone who will directly tell you exactly what you need to do. And there are agencies. I'm going to share with you the people that we used in just a moment. Or you can do an online academy like the Video Ranking Academy, where they're updating it constantly so that you know not what you're supposed to be doing back in like 2020, but like what you're supposed to be doing right now this year to blow up your channel. That was the first thing that I did. And I want to show you the results. So as you can see, in the first 14 years, we grew about 112,000 subscribers. And I made $14 in 14 years. I made $1 a year on YouTube. Can you see why I just couldn't understand? Like, why do I even want to do this? Until I started figuring out the right way to do this and how to capitalize on AdSense. And now we're on pace to make over $85,000 annually. And that number just keeps climbing. And that wasn't even our goal. My goal on YouTube is to reach my ideal customer. It's to reach my avatar. It's to build my podcast listenership. And I can't even tell you how much it has blown up our podcast. And that was my intention. The AdSense was like, that's just an extra nice little thing. But as you can see, we've added over 175,000 new subscribers in a year, where it took us 14 years just to get to 112. So it is possible to blow up even if you're over 25, shall we say. I'm actually 55. I'm happy to tell you I'm 55. And people are looking for content from older creators. When I say older, like, I know it sounds weird, like that someone over 40 is considered older, but yeah, like you're more credible. There's a certain way that we speak. There's a certain way that we want to consume information. And so people our age and older are on YouTube and they want to consume content that they resonate with. So people are looking for you. The number two thing that I did was I committed to a niche. And this is something I not only did I not want to do it, I didn't see how it was possible because I was creating a YouTube channel using the podcast feature, meaning it was just going to be me recording my podcast, but on video. And my podcast, The Chalene Show, which I will link below in our show notes. You'll love it. The Chalene Show is about everything. We just talk about life. So sometimes I just talk about what's going on in my life. Sometimes I talk about travel, relationships, hormones, fitness, nutrition, diet, sex, parenting, reality TV, ADHD, gut health, like anything that's going on in my life or that I think I can help other people by sharing it. You know, like sometimes we talked about caring for an elderly parent. All of those things are on The Chalene Show. And that is not a niche. That's called lifestyle. And lifestyle is not a niche, right? So I was very unclear on how do I niche down? I want to just record my podcast and it's really not very niched. So here's what we did. Initially, at the beginning of the year, I just did as I always did. I recorded every episode without filtering myself, without changing the topics whatsoever. And after about like 5 or 6 or 7 videos, which were just episodes of The Chalene Show, some were starting to pop off. And they were getting, not like hugely, but like I could tell, oh, we're getting a lot more engagement, we're getting a lot more comments, and we're getting new viewers. YouTube was showing our content to unique viewers. And so then what I started doing was step three. Step three is being patient about the content that's in kind of like a wide niche, right? Like, let's just say that lifestyle is a niche, which it isn't, but like, let's just pick a variety of topics that you want to post on. And then you have to patiently allow your audience to tell you which categories or buckets they are most interested in. Now, I still record a variety of topics for The Chalene Show, but once I started figuring out like what YouTube wanted specifically from me, then the topics that like didn't fit inside one of those buckets, for example, like it's just me rambling about what's going on in my life, those videos don't do well. That doesn't do well on YouTube. So those podcasts, I just do audio. I don't have to do my hair and makeup. In fact, I just record them in my car on my phone. And so what we figured out is that meant fewer videos on YouTube. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. So therefore, I'm still following the same process, the same schedule for my podcast, right? 2 episodes a week. They come out on Wednesday and Friday. But on Friday, we're releasing an episode that fits within one of those buckets. And it took a matter of like probably 4 months and to really figure out what those buckets were. Then we started doubling down on those buckets. Now, step four was taking advantage of the podcast category on YouTube. So first of all, if you're not on YouTube and you're on Instagram, you're on TikTok, and you're on all those other places, like you are missing out. And everyone kept telling me that. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. No, it's absolutely true. So many of our other businesses have just blown up as our channel continues to grow because I really think, especially people who are over 40, we're so sick of short form content. We're so sick of like 3 seconds and 15 seconds and 10 seconds. It makes us feel chaotic. It makes us feel anxious. And we're longing for content that kind of keeps us company. Content that we can trust, content that we can start to feel like we know that person, we like them, and it makes us feel a little bit calmer. It makes us feel connected. And most social media makes us feel disjointed. So if you're looking for somebody who wants, if that's you, like if you're saying, yeah, that's totally, that's how I feel, then I guarantee that's who you should be serving by creating that type of content yourself. And it's actually easier, I think, to create long-form content than it is to figure out how to make a, you know, 30-second reel pop off, trust me. And I teach Instagram. So I know it sounds kind of strange for me to say, but I really do think that long-form is where we're going to continue to head. And I think even the short-form platforms like TikTok, we know this, are now prioritizing content that's beyond 5, 10, 7, 8, 10 minutes, because they know this is where we're heading. People want long-form content. And the truest of long-form content, keep you company content, is podcasting. Most of us can't take a shower, can't put on our makeup, we can't drive down the road, we can't eat dinner in silence. Like, we have to have something in our ear, like a podcast or a YouTube. And what I learned is the number one way that people are discovering podcasts today is on YouTube. So I'm like, duh, I got to get on YouTube. I just have to convince myself to turn on the camera, turn on my phone, and I'm going to record a podcast anyways. Just do it on camera. So that, you know what that does? It just means I have to get my hair and makeup done. I mean, not done. I have to do it. I have to take a shower. That's what it means. So I took advantage of the podcast category. If you are not recording or starting a YouTube channel using the podcast category, that's okay. What you do need to take advantage of is the feedback, the engagement, the comments that people are giving to you, because they're going to tell you, if you're consistently posting, they're going to tell you which content buckets they want you to double down on, and that's what you need to double down on. All right, the fifth thing that we did was really took it very seriously, the same advice you've probably heard too, which is you've got to workshop your subject, your title, and the thumbnail, and even the first minute of your video before you film. Now, the coaches that I hired to help me, and even in Video Ranking Academy, they just pound this into your head. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. That's what I said. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I've got this great idea. I don't feel like working so hard on like coming up with the perfect title. I know the subject and I will record it, and I'm not like 100% clear on where I'm going to go. So I'm going to come up with a title after the fact. And then I'm really good on Canva, so I'm going to make my own thumbnail. Like, I literally would just be like, oh, I'm going to try to be funny. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch all the other people's YouTube videos and I'll just start my video just like theirs. And if you go back and look at my analytics, you will see in the first part of the last year, we were just trying to make it happen. Like, things were improving because I was listening to my coaches. I was applying all the things I learned in VRA, but it just wasn't popping off yet. And I was really kind of frustrated because there were certain videos that I'm like, this is so good. And I know this is going to be the one that's going to attract the right subscribers. And it would just be friggin' crickets, nothing. And it was so frustrating. And I didn't throw in the towel. I just kept listening to the comments, looking at what things people were responding to. And then really, this is the hard part, really being very critical about that process and understanding like, okay, dang it, I got to just bite the bullet. And what would happen? What happens if I just say, all right, I know the subject. I know that this week I want to talk about, let's just say, intermittent fasting. And instead of just like rambling about intermittent fasting, let's workshop that subject. What that means is using tools like we used vidIQ and TubeBuddy. Is that what it's called? Yeah. vidIQ and TubeBuddy. We would use those to take a look at like, okay, intermittent fasting, what are some of the keywords that are trending right now? What are people searching for? Where is there like kind of a missing space where there's a lot of people searching for it, but there's not a lot of competition because not a lot of people are producing a video on this specific topic? And then how can I be very specific about the title? And once I really understood like this makes a huge difference, and I started figuring out the title, at least a general idea of what the title was going to be, like specifics about intermittent fasting, then what I could do is deliver on the promise of the title in the first minute of the video. And that took us probably 6 months for me to like really like finally get it. Like, hello. First, they look at the title, then they glance at the thumbnail. And those two things should both like, it should make you feel like you have to watch the video, right? And then the second you watch the video, if the first minute doesn't deliver on the implied promise of both the title and the thumbnail, people swipe away. And we kept seeing this over and over and over again in the first like 5 months, you know, of really getting serious, I should say, this year of creating YouTube content for The Chalene Show. And I could not figure out like, why were people swiping away in the first 15 seconds? It's because they don't know me. It's because they looked at the title and the thumbnail. And if I didn't deliver on that in the first, whatever, 15, 30 seconds, they swiped away. So we got very serious. Number five, I think, is perhaps one of the most important takeaways. If you really want to blow up your YouTube content, learn absolutely everything you can from the experts about thumbnails. And it's so different than like design. Like, I thought I was creating the best thumbnails, and I absolutely wasn't. That leads me to number six. Number six is I outsourced the editing of my video and the design of the thumbnail. And I'm just going to say this because it's the honest truth. I tried outsourcing my thumbnail many times to, like, I hired people on Fiverr, I hired people on Upwork, and they were great. They were awesome. But I didn't feel like they understood my girl. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I think a lot of the YouTube thumbnails look a lot like Mr. Beast-esque, or they like appeal to like a dude. And I'm like, they don't appeal to me. They don't appeal to my girl. So eventually I hired a female US-based expert to help me design these thumbnails. And sometimes what she designs, I'm like, I don't know if I like it, but I gotta trust you. And she is crushing it, like frigging crushing it. Our latest video on castor oil, it's insane. Like, it got over 100,000 views. I think it's like up to, I should check, stand by. No, we released it 3 days ago and it's at already 118,000 views, which is crazy. And our click-through rate right now is through the roof. And that's because of her amazing designs for thumbnails. And no, you can't have her name. I'm going to give you some sources. So I want to say shout out to Whitney, and I want to say shout out to Noy. Noy is my amazing video editor. And so, like, this is like a little side note. Hiring a video editor, I could do like a whole video on that. But I just feel like I'm really lucky that he is a dude who gets my girl, if that makes sense. So Noy and I have been working together now for a year, and we stumbled a lot in the beginning because I personally think, like, you have a way that you want your video edited, and you doing it yourself just doesn't make sense when somebody else can do it so much faster. I would much rather you spend your time workshopping the title, the thumbnail, the content, all those things, right? You don't have time to edit the video. So it was finding an editor and working through those frustration points. Now, you know right away, I think, if you've got the wrong editor, but if you've got somebody who's really willing to grow and to take feedback and to learn. So my entire team, so I've got someone who edits the audio and then someone who edits the video. And then I've got someone now who, by the way, in the beginning, it was just all me. And I have learned that the more I trust my team, the faster we grow. They're so much smarter than me. So Paul puts the audio up on the podcast, just the audio stream. Noy edits the video. Whitney creates the thumbnail and helps with the title. Kristen workshops that title, the description, the keywords. She watches the numbers. Like, it's fun and it's exciting. And it didn't happen overnight. I added like one person at a time. But I would say the person that I have spent the most time with in the beginning was Noy, my video editor. And it was like even showing him like very specific things, like, I don't like this particular B-roll, and I'm going to tell you why. I wouldn't just tell him what to change. I would explain my thinking, and I would explain my rationale, and I would explain how it would make the viewer feel. And I would share with him like different font, like everything. And now it's crazy. It's just such a beautiful symbiotic relationship, because I get the videos back now. And I mean, just every single edit is priceless. It's so reliable. And so finding the right editor is friggin' everything. It's everything. Take your time. Get to know that person. Work with them. Praise them. Pour into them. Be patient with them, unless you know it's the wrong person. You know what I mean? Because before I found Noy, I had some great editors, but they just didn't get those little nuances. You know what I'm saying? Here's the difference. I could tell Noy wanted to learn, wanted to master, that was like excited about mastering this the same way I am. And that's how I knew it was the right person. That's for my team. Number seven is going to really get you excited. Number seven is we started posting less. Now, we did this based on the coaching I got from Liz, a vidfluencer, and I'm going to link. This is how much of a caring, giving person I am, because it makes me nervous to share her contact with you because I want all of her attention. She's helped us blow up this channel. So I highly recommend her, especially if you are a midlife female. She's helped a lot of midlife females like blow up their YouTube channels. But based on her recommendation, so I maintain my podcast schedule, the audio. But in terms of my YouTube channel, when a video takes off, like this one right now for castor oil, she suggests that we not post, even though I have another video that's ready to go out on Friday. I have a feeling she's going to tell me don't post it, because you don't want to cannibalize all of the traffic and new subscribers that you're getting from that one video. So if I were to post a new video on Friday, what will probably happen is it would compete with the one right now that is gaining me so many new subscribers. So that was, at first I was like, oh, because I'd heard, like probably many of you, that in most social media platforms, the recommendation is post more, post more, post more. But not so on YouTube. When you've got a banger, when you've got one that's like really taken off, you can sit back and watch it grow to the point where you're like, okay, now it's starting to level off. Now I can post another video. I don't know about you, but that was such a relief. It makes sense. It's so much less pressure. And if you look at, like, you know, the biggest of the big on YouTube, that being Mr. Beast, I mean, he posts like one video every 3 or 4 months or something. I'm all about it. I think it's great. I love it. It makes me so excited to be able to post less. And all of that, everything that we've done to blow up the channel is about listening and learning. It's about being a student. It's about understanding. It's so much slower to try to figure this stuff out yourself. Go to the experts. Like, I didn't just have VidFluence work with me. I had them work with everybody on my team. I'm not the only person who went through VRA. I had my team go through VRA. So when we're all learning and growing at the same time, the channel just grows that much faster. Versus the way that I think a lot of people do it, which is they just keep watching more YouTube videos and more YouTube videos, and they get, you know, conflicting advice and they get confused. And there's something about paying for it that makes you pay attention and implement. And if there's one mistake that I made, it was not implementing fast enough. Like, again, you know, these experts were telling me what I need to do in terms of my thumbnail, what I need to do in terms of how I started my video. I'm like, oh, eventually it'll work out. It didn't work out until I literally started to follow their advice. So shout out to Liz at VidFluencer and shout out to Sean and the team at Think Media, the creators of Video Ranking Academy. By the way, I'm going to be at the conference for Grow with Video. If you're thinking about growing your YouTube channel, this is like the, I'm not just saying this because I'm speaking at it, because it doesn't matter to me, but I would love to meet you there. And if you're trying to grow your YouTube presence and you're thinking about like going to an in-person conference, it's in Vegas and I'd love to see you there. So I'll put a link to that below in the show description as well. Hey, thanks so much for joining me here on Build Your Tribe. It is my goal to be brief, to be bright, to make it fun, and then be done. And we're done. Bye. This episode of Build Your Tribe was sponsored by Keep. Keep is the email service, the CRM that we have used to grow all of our brands and businesses here at Team Johnson. It is not for those of you who think you can set all this stuff up yourself and you want to figure out how to set up your own email systems and flows and templates. It's for those of you who understand where you should be spending your time. Keep has elevated all of our brands and businesses. It's how we've grown our customer base, and it's how we make the majority of our money is through email marketing. So if you're ready to upgrade your small business CRM, to grow your revenue, and to create more fans and work fewer hours, be sure to check out Keep. Move your business from chaos to confidence with complete business automation. To learn more about Keep and to use Team Johnson's custom templates, go to Keep, that's spelled K-E-A-P, now, now.com/Shalene. Again, it's keepnow.com/Shalene. And Keep is spelled K-E-A-P-N-O-W.com/Shalene. And of course, that link is available for you in our show description.